And you know, Satan wants to silence the way you pray. If Satan can silence your prayer life, he's got you. So last night we came here together, we were starting to pray. And I heard God say to me, I was walking on the stage, so I heard God say to me, I want you to get down in my presence, on your knees. On your knees. That's a sign of humility. Who hears me in this place? A sign of humility, on your knees. So I went onto my knees and I didn't say anything. I just heard God say to me, it's time that you recognize who you are without me. It's time that you recognize if my hand is removed from your life, who you would be. That took me to a place that I can't explain to you in words. I was sobbing. He says, everything that your hand touched is not because of you. It's because of my great grace, my great mercy. It's all because of me. And you know, in this church, we always put an emphasis on Jesus. Who knows that, by the way? But I believe that the Lord is pushing us to do even a greater thing, to put more emphasis on Christ Jesus. Am I speaking to the right crowd? Now, we might come here today and think that God needs us and God owes us a big deal. He owes you nothing. And I believe this, and I've said this many times. I'm going to say this again. I'm going to say this to the 10 o'clock service because I prophesy this to 2019. 2019 is going to be the year for the church. We know that. We know that the body of Christ will be supernaturally blessed. Now, hear me. I'm not talking to the Christians. I'm talking to the blood-washed, spirit-filled, hungry, sold-out people of God. That's who I'm talking. Not the Christians. The Christians are the guys who are still in between. And you know what? In actual fact, I'm gonna get people angry now. The Bible, they were not even speaking about the disciples as Christians. They were speaking about people of the way. People of the way. Which way? The way of Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So I'm speaking to the people of the way. Come on, where's the people of the way? 2019 is going to be our year. It's going to be the year where 2018, whatever 2018 stole, we will bring back in 2019. But it's going to be a year of turmoil for the body, for the rest of the world. Hear me today. We're going to see, and you'll see it on the news next year. You're going to see famine. You're going to see a financial breakdown around the world. But not for those of the way. God will do things supernaturally. You don't hear me. You can decide one thing this morning. Either you take the word or you run. For those of you that do not want to take the word, you run now. Because what I'm going to say now, you're going to get uncomfortable with. But I believe that when God created man in Genesis 1:28, it speaks about that God gave man dominion over every living creature. So why do I say this? Because I believe that we are experiencing a season where we're going to go into where whatever we will need will come through what we declare. And yesterday I started seeing glimpses of it. When I said, we just need the press here. I didn't know the press is coming. Nobody said the newspapers are coming. And when I said, we just need the press, and I saw this man, he's from the press, God started speaking to me that I'm releasing dominion over the body of Christ like it ought to be. Come on, like it ought to be. Over all things, over every living thing. And over all living organisms, even the wind, the weather. Oh, come on. Now, for those of you who were not here with us yesterday, okay, let me rather speak to those who was here. Who remembered yesterday when we started, when we looked up around the sun, there was a big circle and it seemed like an eye, and like an eye is watching, and our permit gave us permission until 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock, it disappeared. It was like heaven is saying, I'm going to give you signs in heaven. This is what we are moving towards. Amen? We are living in this time. Now, I don't know why I say this. I don't know why I say this. But before I'm going to get to the message, the Holy Spirit knows why you need to hear this. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, those who are saved, are they few? And Jesus says you have to fight hard to enter in. He says, because there will many try, not many will enter in. And he says, now Lord, who can be saved? And Jesus continued, he says, with man, things are impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. And here comes the next verse. He says, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God, but those who does the will of my Father. Now, Jesus was not speaking about people who do not know him. He was speaking about people who know him. Lord, Lord, it speaks, if you study the original Hebrew language, it's somebody that knew God. And God said, you know me, I don't know you. Go away, I never knew you. Lukewarm Christians. Knowing Jesus in this hour is not enough. My question to you is, does Jesus know you? That's the question. I know Paul declared this. It's going to happen. There's nothing we can do about it. It's a prophetic word. He says in the last days, people will get to themselves or gather, heap up, as the scripture says, teachers that will bring forth soothsaying for the itching ears. It's coming. Look around you. It's here. People want churches that says God is pleased with you and you're on your way to heaven and everybody that dies, rest in peace. Not everybody who dies is with Jesus. Am I speaking to the... This is why we've done what we've done yesterday, reaching people that needs to be reached, because there's people lost without Christ. I don't know if you're going to like it. I don't care. But there's only one way, and His name is Jesus Christ. Having a personal relationship with the Son of the living God. That's the only way. Not just singing a hymn on a Sunday, but serving Him in spirit and in truth. Listen, Church of God, Christians, wake up. No longer can we be one foot in the world and one foot for Christ. I'm speaking to the remnant that says, Vessel, I'm sold out this morning. Come on, where are you? With an excellent spirit, with the spirit of truth on the inside. I'm so sick and tired. My God, I feel the power of God. I'm sick and tired of people that this is the body of Christ. I'm sick and tired of it. If you say that you don't need the body of Christ, you don't need to go to church, I have to cast out a demon out of you. It's not the pastor's church. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. He made the institution of the church. Now it's quiet, I thought so. For all the religious spirits, you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place. Today we're going to get you saved. There's only one. His name is Jesus. I'm not preaching as hard as I do and pray as hard as I do for a dead God. My God is a God who's alive and well. I'm thinking about this. And I don't need your amen this morning. I just feel the fire of God on me. We've got people around the world who serves gods that they have to take care of. They have to protect them. Hear me. They take care of the statues. They protect the statues. But my God takes care of me. He says, I can sleep. He's awake. He takes care of me. And in the scripture, there was a man called Daniel. Daniel was a man after God's own heart. I want you to shout, a man after God's own heart. The Bible speaks about Daniel as a... Can we get Deuteronomy on the screen? The Bible says that Daniel had an excellent spirit in him. I want you to say excellent spirit. Let's say that again. Come on, one more time. Okay, everybody with breath. Excellent spirit. The Bible says Daniel had an excellent spirit. And do you know what Daniel did from the word go? From a very young age, the Bible says he was a praying man. Can you shout praying man? What did he do? He was praying. The only thing that he was doing was praying. And we're going to get to Daniel now. But the scripture says that they couldn't find anything in Daniel. No unrighteousness, no darkness, no sin, nothing. And the only thing that they tried to do is they tried to change the law to stop Daniel from praying. And when Daniel heard that the law is changed, the first thing that he did was he prayed. Even though they said that if you're going to pray, we're going to throw in the lion's den. I don't care about no lion's den. If I serve the lion of the tribe of Judah, victory is mine. I'm speaking to people who believe this morning that victory is yours. Where are you at in this place? Well, let's try that again. Who believes that victory is already yours? Come on, before we're going to get to the message, don't fight from a place for victory. Fight from a place of victory. You're already victorious this morning through Christ Jesus. Who believes that? Who believes that if God goes before you, that He will make the crooked path straight? He will make a way where there seems to be no way. Who believes that? Come on, I say, who believes that? Who believes that we serve a living God, a living Jesus? Who believes that we are a mega people with mega faith who will do mega exploits for the kingdom of God? Who believes that this morning? I know it's early, but help me out this morning. If you want victory, tell your face, I need victory. Victory doesn't just come because you command it. No, you better tell your face that I'm victorious. I'm walking in victory. Come, I said, I'm walking in victory. Now, Deuteronomy says, for the Lord your God is He who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. I want to read that to you again. For the Lord your God is He who goes with you. Who fights with you? Let's try that again. Who fights with you? God. The Bible says He goes with you. To do what? To fight your enemies for you. My God's not a God that says skill for me. He doesn't say go into war for me. He says you just walk with me. I'll go before you, and whatever comes against you, I will kill. Amen. To do what? To save you. Yes, Brother George, you and me in the same spirit now. You're against your enemy, so he will fight for you against your enemies to do what? To save you. Not to harm you. To save you. The first thing when God created Adam and Eve, what's the first thing that God did? Read the Bible. It says, and God blessed them. Man was created with a blessing of God. Why? To save you. Not to destruct you. To give you a hope and a future. This is how God created man. God created you to prosper. I know the word prosper in most places, it's a sin. It's time that the church wake up and understand this is how God created me. I am created to attract a blessing. For he says, wake up. Wake up. The Lord your God is he who fights for you. Is he who goes before you and fight your enemies to do what? To save you. Now, I like that. I want to speak to somebody today that believe that God is going to do something so big, so huge, that my enemies will become confused, that my life will be shaken, and my eyes will not understand what I've seen. Remember last time I've touched on it, I said that God blessed Abraham a lot so much that God says, in order for you to receive your blessing, you better move apart from each other. You go to the west and you go to the east, because what I'm going to do for you is so huge that your nation cannot contain it. Now, do you know what? There's a scripture, and I'll go through that scripture, not today. But the Bible says, in the last days, the money of the unjust shall come to the just. It's time that the Muslims pay for the churches. It's time that the sinners of this world give you so much favor that you'll be like Solomon and says, just take back the gold. We don't have enough space. Imagine God blesses you so much like Solomon that you walk on gold. It's like this, getting out of your house. Jeez. Okay, Lord, do it with me. They don't want to take it, Lord. Bring it to my house. I'll take the gold. So the Bible says, I want to read you the scripture in the book of Daniel. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And was as was his custom since early days. After the law came in, you're not supposed to pray no more. The first thing that Daniel did was he went into his upper room at his house and he started praying. Even Daniel had a praying place in his house. And today we think that we don't need to pray no more. You see, praying is the key, because praying is also a sign of recognition that how much you need God. We've got a quick fix Christianity today. And it saddens me, because people come to your meetings just to get healed. They never want anything to do with God. They don't want God. They want to get healed and run off. You'll never get healed. You'll never get healed. Now, when Brother Ido spoke this morning, it blessed me. He said that if you think about giving, if you give to your child, you don't give in out of your mind, you give out of your heart. Who understands that? Come on, parents. You don't give to your child and don't give. No, you love blessing your child. This is how God knows your heart. If you go to any service, it doesn't matter where you go, and your heart motive is just to get healed, you'll never get healed. Your heart motive must be to seek the healer, to seek the provider, not to get the provision. You know how many times I get messages of people that lives around this church, and then they ask me, pray for breakthrough, pray for financial breakthrough, but for a month, they're in a long lace. And then I asked them, are you going to a church? No, we're not. Where do you stay? Well, I stay in Irene. Well, here's a church here. Nah, we don't like going to church. And then you get people that walks from Soweto all the way to here to get a touch from the master. Those around the corner will get none. God knows your heart. People serve God because they are afraid of going to hell. If you serve God because of fear of going to hell, you're going to go to hell. We don't serve God because of fear of hell. We serve him because we love him. We cannot live without him. He's everything to us. So here's the scripture that the Bible says that Daniel had his confession from his very young age that he's a praying man. He's going to pray 3 times a day. That was his custom. It's not something that you must do. It's something he did. He was praying 3 times a day. I believe it was in the morning, in the afternoons and in the evenings. So he was praying to his God, the scripture says. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that he received the law that he was not supposed to pray. But Daniel understood that there's such power in a life of praying, because the Bible says the prayer of the righteous avails much. What does this mean? It means that when a righteous starts to pray, things starts to happen for them. Do you hear me? Things starts to happen for them. Please say this. Things starts to happen for me. When you pray with the right motive from your heart. I don't believe that Daniel prayed, oh God, protect me from the lion's den. No, he magnified him. That's what the Bible says. He started giving thanks unto God. He started blessing the Lord. He started praising his God. That's a man with a relationship with God. A man of relationship, even though you know that tomorrow morning they're going to cut off your head, today you're going to praise him. You're going to praise him because he's a good God. You're going to worship him. Come on, because he's a good God. Am I speaking to somebody? Who wants the victory? You came for victory, right? You want your victory. Lift your hands if you want victory. Remember, heaven sees you. If you lift your hands, you say, Lord, I'm here. I need victory. You better lift your hand and take your victory right now. This is how Daniel knew that this is how victory comes. It's when I'm going to pray my way out. Do you know what I love about the Bible? It cannot lie. Do you hear me? Daniel slept in a lion's den. Peter slept in prison. Jesus slept in a storm. I want to tell you, it's time to take your nap now. You'll be okay. The victory is already secured. Come on, it's yours. Now, the Bible speaks about Jesus healing Jairus' daughter. The scripture says that when he walked into a room, he sent out everybody. That's the key to the miraculous. Jesus wasn't rude when he said, get out. Peter observed Christ. I believe he observed Christ because later in Acts, he does the same as Jesus. He was praying and he was sending everybody out. Because most times when you pray, you've got firefighters around you. You've got people not with the same faith, not the same mandate, not the same vision. And then they pray in a different direction, and then you have to fight the illness and you have to fight what they just said. So Jesus sent them all out because of the unbelief, because of the crying and murmuring. He called them out and said, leave this place. And he commanded that little girl, and our English Bible says, he says, Talita kumi, I say to you, little girl, arise. But I want to tell you something, how powerful praying is. The Bible says in the original Hebrew language, it doesn't say that Jesus said to the little girl, Talita kumi. The original Hebrew language says, he said, Talit kumi. The word Talit in English is prayer shawl. Jesus had a prayer shawl on. You know, I've discussed this with the teaching of praying. That when Jesus says, go into your room and pray, it's when they took the prayer shawls and covered their heads. That was the inner binnenkamer. It's the prayer shawl, covered their heads. So the Bible says that even when, with the prayer shawl, did you know with the prayer shawl, at the end of the prayer shawl, the prayer shawls came down right to their feet. At the end of the prayer shawl, there were 613 tassels. 613 is the number that represents all of the laws of Moses. So when the woman of the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment, she touched the prayer shawl. You don't hear me? She touched the prayer. Let that sink in. And the Bible says when she touched prayer, virtue flowed out of Jesus into her body and healed her. What do you mean he touched prayer? Well, Jesus prayed day and night. When the rest of the disciples were sleeping, he was seeking. He was on the mountain speaking to his Father, and one of the laws, what they did was covering their heads with their prayer shawl. Now, I want you to hear me. What happened with the prayer shawl? Why did they close their heads? So they will always be covered with prayer. Always be covered with prayer. So the Bible says when Jesus walked into that little girl's room, he chased them all out. He took off his prayer shawl. He replaced the prayer shawl on that girl. That's what the original Hebrew speaks about if you study it. And the Bible says, he said, Talit kumi. What does it mean? I say to you, prayer, arise. That's powerful. In other words, in our translation, it says that Jesus went into that room, he removed his prayer shawl, placed it on a little girl, and he said, whatever I have been praying about, seeking about, in the name of Jesus, arise. And bang, life came back. Life came back. That was a man. Do you know why the Bible says that when Jesus spoke, he spoke like somebody with an authority? Do you know why? Because of his prayer life. He's spending time with the Father because of his prayer life. Every man and woman of God that's intimate with God will never be intimidated by no man. Come on, if you can kneel before the King of Glory, you can stand before any man on this earth. People of God, you can't miss the 10 o'clock service, by the way. I'm going to teach you about a friend of God. We're going to go into a series called The Friend of God. And I promise you, for those of you who's hungry for God's presence, you're going to see things happening to your life like you've never seen this before. Do you hear what I say? I heard God say to us last night, I said it to the people here. I said, last night God said that no more will you speak to me out of a burning bush. I'll reveal myself to you. And this is what we're going to enter into. But I want to get somebody's attention in this place right now. If there's no praying, there's no power. If there's no seeking, there's no healing. If there's no hunger, there's no touch. You know what separates us from a normal Christian? It's the touch of God. There's people that's Christians, good morals, no touch. And there's no hunger. But then you get those who has been touched by heaven. A man that has been touched by heaven, the only thing you want is more of him, more of him, more of him, more of him. So when they say that they stop churches in South Africa, they're going to bring in a law, they're going to stop the churches in South Africa. What's the church supposed to do? We have to preach like a fire. We don't back down. If they say that we're not allowed to pray, what do? We pray. If they can burn down hospitals and universities and schools and toy, I can take up a cross and walk in the street and declare that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Whenever enemy is pushing, you push back harder. People want the benefits of God. Now, you know what? I really do believe that I'm a gentleman, and a gentleman says that if I'm not invited to your house, I'm not coming. You know what's one of the hardest things is to be somewhere where you are not welcomed. Who has been to a place where you have never been welcomed? You don't want to be there, right? The flesh doesn't want to be there. You don't want to be there. Why do you think that the Spirit of God must stay? He stays where he's welcomed. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force anything on your life. You know, when you pray for people, I don't want to fall, eh? You know, you're not going to fall. It's not about the falling. It's about the touch. It's about the hunger. The minute you say, I don't want to fall, you're not going to fall. God knows you don't want to fall. God knows you're not desperate. God knows it. I heard, Tina's going to help me out. We were in a discussion Friday night at people's house, praying for them, and the woman said something. She said she brought people to church of this world. And the lady that came said, this falling over is a fake. We are paying people, pushing people over. People are dramatic and they do it by themselves. And she said, this woman fought not to come out for praying. Why? Because Satan keeps you bound. And the woman said to me, suddenly when she looked, here's the woman right in the front. She said, the power of God hit her. She said, she flew through the air, fell to the ground. And she says, she stood outside. And she says, I have never in my life experienced what I've experienced today because of the touch. Because of the touch. Come on, am I speaking to you? We need a touch. Daniel was a man that received a touch from God. And do you know what the scripture says? The king, when he heard these words, he was greatly displeased. They told, now, do you know what the people tried to do? They tried to get something against Daniel. And they could find none. Now this is the key part. We are living in the days of Daniel. That people will try everything against you. They will spread lies and rumors. I'm speaking to somebody. Even at your work, they try to diss you. They try to speak bad about you to your boss and your colleagues, and they try to stir things up. I'm prophesying this to somebody. And they try to get everything against them. And the Bible says they could find nothing against Daniel. And this is why they started changing the laws. They started saying, well, from now on, now please hear me. I believe this. In all of the city, there's only one praying man, that was Daniel. This is why they had to change the law to stop one man from praying. The only way that we can get something against him is when we start to change the law and say that he's no longer allowed to pray. You see, this is the thing. They will find all types of things they will try to find against you. But Daniel said, after he came out of the lion's den, we're going to get there now. He says that God has found nothing against me. This is why he was protected in the lion's den. It's because God has found nothing against him. When the king has heard that Daniel didn't obey his laws, they came to him, they said, listen, he's praying, this guy. We caught him. Imagine the case against you is, yes, this guy is worshiping. We caught him worshiping. What a case. Oh, what a case. It's not we caught him stealing, we caught him lying, or we caught him praying. Come on, I'm speaking to you right now. You better hear me right now. Oh, he's a praying man. And the Bible says the king tried everything in his power not to kill him. This is not a king who served my God. It's a king who saw something different on Daniel's life. And he feared touching him. My God. I'm prophesying. This is where we are moving into 2019. That they will fear the God who protects you. They will fear bring any accusation against you. The king signed off this deal. He made this law. And he said, oh, is there anything I can do just to save this guy's life? Because the king knew, if I touch him, I touch his God. I want somebody that believes this to jump to their feet. If they touch you, they touch your God.